Well, good morning, mighty men and women of God. How is everybody? If you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 2. Man, what an honor it is to be together in the house of God, to visit God's word, and just trust that the Lord's already encouraged you and strengthened you in some way today, and that he's going to continue to do the same as we visit his word this morning. I want to, before we get into today's message, I just want to bring an encouragement to you. I really feel like there are a lot of people that are on the cusp of a breakthrough, right on the verge of a breakthrough. I believe it's also true corporately for our church. There's some things that we're believing God for, and there's some things that are coming up in the life of our church, and we're on the cusp of some really exciting, encouraging things to be a part of. So this is a word corporately for our church. It's a word individually for you, your marriage, your home, your family. There's some people that are right on the edge of a breakthrough. And because the enemy knows that, he's really pushing back hard against you. He's trying to get you to stand down from some things that you're believing for and pursuing in God. And I just want to bring an encouragement to you this morning that the enemy is under your feet. He's under your feet. The Lord took me this morning as I was praying over our message just began speaking to me what I'm about to share with you. He took me to Romans chapter 16, where it says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And if you read the few verses in advance of verse 20 right there, he's warning the church. It's a time of breakthrough, but he's warning the church about three things. Divisions, challenges, or one translation says obstacles, and deceptions. And so I just want to encourage you this morning, if you're in a season in your life or your marriage, your health, your finances, your family, where you feel resisted, just be encouraged that you are, I believe it's because you're closer to your breakthrough than you even maybe think or realize. And so just be reminded about that promise in Romans 16, verse 20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And let me just say it this way. When the enemy tries to get a foothold in your life, your marriage, your family, your health, your mind, your finances, instead of letting him get a foothold, put your foot right on his head where it belongs. And so just be encouraged. Resist, humble yourself, submit to God, resist the enemy. He's going to flee. Breakthrough's coming for some of you. You know, this week, Pastor Eli and I officiated a funeral that was, it's never easy to lose a loved one, but there were some real challenging circumstances involved in this funeral. And you know, I can't say that I enjoy doing funerals, but I appreciate that when I do a funeral, it challenges me to live differently and it challenges me to live better in some ways. And it makes me aware of the fact that that day is coming for me someday. There's going to be a group of people gathering someday to remember me. But right now, it's my opportunity, my privilege, and my honor to steward this life that God's given me. So just want to encourage you with a few of those things. Just be encouraged, be inspired to live well, be encouraged, be strengthened to stand against the schemes of the enemy. If there's in those places where you feel resisted, trust God, seek God, breakthrough is coming for you, okay? John chapter 2, if you're there, say, I'm there. And let's read in verse 1 through 5, and it says this, on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Then Jesus says something that only Jesus can get away with saying. Let me just encourage you, only Jesus can get away with saying what he's about to say. He says, woman, why do you involve me? And Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. Let me just tell you, that's a statement that I strongly discourage every man from using with every woman in your life. Like, Jesus is the only one that can get away with saying that, all right? There's just no way, there's no tone that you can say that in that makes it acceptable to almost any woman in your life, all right? He's the only one that can get away with it, and you're not him, so. Woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. And his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. And so, listen, that's just a statement that we can't use towards women. But, you know, I was actually thinking about it this morning, and the Lord just began to speak to me something I'd never seen. I love it when the Holy Spirit starts to unpack something in a new way for me. I've read that maybe 50 times, but I've never seen it this way And I was thinking about that this morning because I was planning on joking about it a little bit with you. And I felt like the Holy Spirit just spoke something to me that also revealed a real deep truth there, that Jesus was intentional about calling her that. Instead of saying mother or mom, he said woman. And the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said he was speaking that way to her to reveal to us that what he was about to do was not a favor to his mom. It was in response to the faith of a believer. And that what he was about to do was in response to the faith of a believer, i.e. you and me. Like what Mary was operating in right here is the same thing that now we have the opportunity to operate in. It wasn't just a son doing a favor for a mom. Isn't that good? So Mary says, do whatever he tells you. Listen, there's a lot in this passage about faith, about obedience, about how our faith and our obedience can even change the timing of God in our life, and it can move the heart of God. But today I just want to focus on one little part often overlooked of this passage, and it's this. Jesus was invited to the wedding. Jesus was where he was because of an invitation. He was invited to the wedding. And in fact, if you go back and you read it, it actually looks like the invitation to Jesus and the disciples may have even been an afterthought. Did you catch that? It says Mary was at the wedding and Jesus and his disciples were also invited. They were the plus one on the invitation. They might have even been an afterthought to it. And Mary was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited. So is it possible that the guests that would ultimately set the party off barely made the guest list? And I mean, can you just think about it? Like, I love to just take these things, these stories, these examples from the Bible and just kind of put myself in the place and just allow myself to just kind of think about it. Like imagine it. Like, maybe he barely made the guest list. Like, can you picture the family of the bride and the groom kind of sitting around talking about who they would invite? You guys have been a part of that, you know? Like, the reality is there's some people that just barely make the list and there's some people that just barely miss the list, right? I mean, come on, that's right? Because you got a budget, you got a number of seats in the room, whatever, you got people in your life, and there's some determinations you got to make about, like, all right, does that person make the list, or are they off the list, and is it possible that that's where Jesus was, and can you just see and hear the family kind of debating about it, like the sister of the bride, like saying, don't invite Jesus and his friends, they're so weird, you know? But the mom said, no, they're married. We're friends of the family, and maybe they are a little different, but we're inviting him. And the mom's saying, there's just something about that Jesus. There's just something about, he's a good young man. There's something different about him. We're inviting Jesus and his friends to the wedding. So Jesus has been invited to the wedding. Let me encourage you with something this morning. A couple things the Lord showed me as I was just meditating on this. Some of you feel like you barely made God's guest list. But I want to encourage you this morning, there's a lot that you're going to bring to the party. And some of you have just barely opened the door to invite Jesus into your life. But let me encourage you with something this morning. Faith is growing in your life, which is going to lead you to some steps that God's going to cause you to take, which is going to lead God and facilitate God being able to do some amazing miracles in your life. So Jesus was invited. Listen, I want to talk to you this morning about the power of an invitation. The power of an invitation. We're talking about shifting atmospheres over our hearts, our minds, our lives, our relationship, our church, our city, our nation. And I'm going to talk to you this morning about the power of an invitation to shift the atmosphere over your life and someone else's life. Us daily. Listen, it involves us. It's about us daily inviting the presence of God into our lives. And it's about a mandate that God's given you and me as believers to extend invitations to others to experience the presence of God, to experience the grace of God, to experience the forgiveness of Jesus, to experience the newness of life that we have in Jesus. There's power in an invitation. Listen, God will occasionally intervene in your circumstances, but most often he responds to an invitation. Most often, he responds to an invitation. And one of the greatest distinctions between those who live kind of just kind of average Christian lives, just kind of getting through life as believers, and those who live radical, amazing adventures of faith, filled with joy, filled with faith, filled with fruit in their life, is the commitment to daily invite the presence of God into everything that we're about. There's a power in invitation. So I want to talk to you today about this power of invitation, and I want to answer a few questions for you. And I'm actually going to focus, it kind of almost should go without saying that there's power to inviting God into our lives. But I want to challenge you this morning with the power of inviting others into the presence of God. And even in this season where we're encouraging you to take these invites and invite people to Easter service, you know, just be reminded, I shared it last week, that an invite to that Easter service next week is an invite to experience the power and the presence of the risen Savior. So getting them to church is not what it's all about, but you got to see it differently. Like I'm trying to get them into the place where there's going to be an atmosphere for them to experience the love and the grace and the mercy and the new life that we have. It's the reason we celebrate next week, the risen life of Jesus. So I want to answer a few questions for you about how to invite, why to invite, how and when to invite people into the presence of God. Before we get into that, can we just take a moment and pray? So just bow your hearts and bow your heads there. And Lord, we just thank you for your presence with us here today. And we invite you here today. God, we know you're everywhere, but there's something special about when you're invited and you're welcomed and you're treasured and you're cherished. And we just say, Lord, as a generation of believers, Lord, gathered in this place, we're here to meet with you. We're here to encounter you. We're here to experience you. We're here to do so much more than sing a few good songs and hear hopefully a good message. We're here to open our hearts up to the living God. We're here to be strengthened. We're here to be healed. We're here to be set free. We're here to be equipped, Lord, to begin to stand in your promises and not just stand, but begin to move forward in the purposes and the plans of God for our life. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you here. Presence of God, we welcome you here. Reveal things in your word. Speak to our hearts and minds. People that are weak or weary or wounded in any specific area in their life, we welcome you here, God, to heal and restore, God, and strengthen. Strengthen us to do and be the mighty men and women of God that you've called us to become. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's precious and handsome people said, amen. All right, so I want to answer these questions. Who, why, how, and when? I want to start out with why. God's entrusted us. God's entrusted you. God's entrusted me. God's entrusted the person to your left and the person to your right with the saving gospel, with the message of Jesus Christ. Come on, that's a privilege. And it's an honor. Matthew 28:19 is known as the Great Commission, and it says this: go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And can I just submit something to you this morning that's a command from God? We call it the Great Commission, but can I just submit to you that more often than not, we sort of have perceived it as the Great Suggestion. But it's really the command of God to each of us that believes, to go and make disciples, to lead people into a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, baptizing them in those names. And so I want to encourage you this morning that there's an active life, there's a life of sharing, there's a life of leading people to the Lord that God's made available and possible, and he's commanded each of us to live out. But most of us approach it as a great suggestion. And you know, there are sins of commission, and there are sins of omission. James 4:17 says this: therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. And somehow, some way, this reminded me of a joke. So there was a Sunday school teacher who was teaching her class. And she was teaching about this very thing, the sins of commission and the sins of omission. And she said, class, can you tell me what the sins of commission are? And a little girl in the back of the class raised her hand, and she said, yes, teacher. And the teacher said, Susie, what are the sins of commission? And she said, they are the actions we take that violate the words and commands and ways of God's word. And she said, well, that's right, Susie. That's very well said. That's true. And she said, now what are the sins of omission? And little Johnny raised his hand, and the teacher said, Johnny, what are the sins of omission? And Johnny said, they're the sins that we really, really want to do, but we just haven't got around to yet. No, that's not it. Nice try, Johnny, but that's not it. The sins of omission are things that we know to do, things that God's called us to do, that we're missing the mark. We're missing the call of God because we're failing to do them. And God's called us to go and make disciples. Jesus was the invitation to all of mankind. John 3:16, the verse that's constantly painted onto cardboard signs that are lifted up at ball games or painted across the chest of avid fans, you know, in the end zone of football games. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he sent his son. Jesus is the invitation to all mankind to a relationship with our Heavenly Father. But now to those around us, we are the carriers. We are the living invitations to a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. To those around us, you and I are sometimes the only ones who are in their life who can extend the invitation to experience the life of God through Jesus Christ. The God who wants everyone to be saved has entrusted this to us. Come on, what an honor and a privilege to be partnering with God and expanding and extending the kingdom of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we have to begin to share. We have to begin to speak. We have to begin to find the courage to share. Listen, I believe that there's a certain level of success that we can experience if a few of us begin to grasp this and walk in it. There's a certain level of impact, kingdom impact, that we can have because of the anointing of our praise and worship, or because of the anointing of our messages, or because of some of the programs we have as a church. But there's a whole nother level of kingdom impact that we'll have when an entire church begins to embrace the responsibility and the mandate and the privilege and the opportunity to begin to be living ambassadors of the kingdom of God to the people in our community. When we begin to ask God to strengthen us and give us courage and give us boldness and give us grace and give us opportunities to begin to share about what Jesus has done in our lives and what we're convicted and what we're convinced that God will do in their lives, because he's no respecter of persons. The same way he saved you from who knows what your circumstances were, the same way that he's healed your heart and is continuing to heal you, the same way that he is the peace in the middle of your storm, the same way that he's now become your father and your friend, he wants to do the same thing for every person in your life. But we have to begin to discover the courage to speak up and to share. Romans 10:14 says this, how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Now listen, what I understand is that there are challenges and there are obstacles and there's resistance and there's fear that operates when we begin to try to picture ourselves stepping out and sharing our faith with other people. And let me encourage you with something. Not all of you will be evangelists. Some of you are specifically called. It's a unique and specific. It's a mandate on your life. It's a gift of God to you. You're called to be an evangelist. But can I encourage you with something, that even though some of us might not be evangelists, each one of us is called to do the work of an evangelist. And 2 Timothy 4 verse 5 says this, but you be sober in all things, endure hardship, and do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. The New Living Translation says it this way, always keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry that God has given you. So you might not be an evangelist, but he's called every one of us as believers to do the work of an evangelist. And can I encourage you with something? Everything that God calls you to do, every one of God's commands, and by the way, every one of God's warnings to us about the things that we shouldn't do, every one of those things is connected to a blessing, is connected to a breakthrough. And so I want you to begin to see this differently. I believe that one of the pathways to really beginning to grow in God is to begin to go in God. That some of us will begin to experience new levels of enjoying God, new levels of freedom in God, new levels of breakthrough in God, new levels of peace in God, when we begin to embrace a life that says, you know what, this wasn't just about me. I'm thankful that God saved me, and I'm thankful that God healed me, but now God's called me. And we begin to step out and we begin to trust God again for that grace to overcome that fear. We begin to trust God for the empowerment of his Holy Spirit to have the right words to say. We begin to prepare in faith and almost expect for divine encounters with people in our workplace and in the community and everywhere you go. We begin to be willing to step out and share. We begin to be willing to step out and pray. We begin to be willing to step out and encourage. We begin to be willing to step out and share our testimony about what God's done in our life. One of the greatest ways to begin to grow in God is to begin to go in God. to begin to step out and do something that you maybe haven't done before, to begin to step out and be faithful with something that God's called you to. And everything that God calls us to, there's a blessing, there's a benefit, there's a promise, there's a breakthrough. Proverbs 11:30 says this, the fruit of the righteous is like a tree producing life. And the one who wins souls is wise. Listen, the work of our life will be tested in the last day. And the Bible says that the things that don't matter will be burned away, but there's some things that will stand forever. And I believe that the work that we do, building the kingdom of God for Jesus Christ, the people that we reach, leading them to an encounter and an experience with Jesus Christ, I believe those are some of the works that will be obvious to stand forevermore. The one who wins souls is wise. There's a blessing to stepping out and beginning to walk in this. Listen, it can be challenging, but there's a reward in it. It's worthwhile. It's worthwhile to ask God. It's worthwhile to focus on this. It's worthwhile to begin to take some steps. So the answer to the why is because God's commissioned us. God's called us and God's entrusted us. We're the carriers. Jesus was the invitation once for all mankind. But now we're the deliverers of that invitation to the people around us. Number two, I said I'm going to answer the question, who? Invite who? And I want to tell you that we're supposed to invite everyone. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4 is where I'm reading from now. And it says this, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live a peaceful and quiet life marked by godliness and dignity. And he goes on to say, this is good and it pleases God our Savior who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Jesus Christ. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. So the answer to the question, who is everyone? Listen, it's not up to us to judge who we should invite. God desires for everyone to be saved. It's our part to just extend the invitation. It's our part to just be faithful with the word that God's put on our heart. It's our part to just deliver the message from God. And then it's the Holy Spirit's work to produce the fruit in people's lives. But everyone should be saved. And you know, I as I've been handing out these invitations to our Easter service, I've had some unique experiences. And recently, I had just one invitation left in my pocket, and I was going into a big store here in town. Had I had like 5, 7, 10 invitations in my pocket, I would have been pretty generous with just giving them out to several different people. You know, like the gal in the produce section, Who am I kidding? I was in the meat section. The guy in the meat section is what I meant to say. The guy in the meat section, the gal in the produce section, the girl, the lady that I passed as I'm walking down the aisle to go to the checkout. You know, I would if I had 4 or 5, I would have been more generous, just kind of giving them out to people, you know. And by the way, thank you for doing that. And take as many as you have faith to give out this week. And maybe you not only give someone one, but you give them 2 or 3 and say, you know, encourage them to invite someone. But I just had one at this time in my back pocket. I love the invitations that our creative team put together, and they fit so nicely right there in my back pocket. And I had one. And so I was a little bit guilty of kind of like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like I was evaluating people to try to determine like the best, most effective use of my one invitation that I had in my pocket. Like, who's the one person that's the most likely to respond to this invitation? And so and again, we're talking about God wants everyone to be saved. It's not our job to judge. It's just our job to just be faithful to extend the invite. So I'm looking at people, and I was guilty of walking by a lot of people thinking, no, not the one, not the one. And I was making judgments based on exterior appearances. Yeah, can you believe that? Yeah, I was. And so, but finally I got to the one person that I thought, oh, this person looks like an ideal candidate to be receptive to this invitation. And I just put it this way. I gave it to the person, and I've never had a more difficult conversation with a person about faith. And God was gracious to me to give me the words to say to that person, but God also just convicted me and said, you probably should have given it to those 3 guys you walked by down the aisle that you didn't think would respond to it. they probably would have been like, thank you, Jesus. We've been praying for a new church since we moved here from Alabama, you know. But I made a judgment, you know, like, it's not our job to judge. It's just our job to be faithful, to extend the invite. Jesus wants everyone saved. He wants everyone saved, regardless of where they are today, regardless of where they've been, regardless of where they're going, regardless of their orientation. He wants everyone saved. He wants everyone saved. So now I want to answer a couple other questions. How and when? Well, first is we need to be, as it regards how, is we need to be moved with compassion. We need to really be have our heart be stirred with compassion for the person, not by motivation to fill another chair in our church service. I mean, real compassion for the person. Driven by a conviction that we really believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and he is to them who he is to us. He's the answer. He's the solution. He's the source of their healing. He's the source of their breakthrough. He's the source of their freedom. He's the source of their life. Every challenge, every situation, every circumstance that that person is up against, Jesus is the answer. We've got to be moved with compassion. When we care, we begin to share. When we really care, we begin to share. And you know, I don't want to step on your toes too much, but every now and then we all need that from our preacher. But you know, we drive by a burning house, or we drive by a wreck on K-10, we stop and we help. How many times do we walk by someone and it's obvious, it's apparent, maybe they even confess to us that they're in a burning situation, that the progress of their life has careened out of control and they've had a collision in life. And come on, can I just be transparent with you? I'm guilty of doing this myself. And we know that there's an opportunity and we know that there's a crisis and we know that Jesus is the answer, and we just maybe give some kind of a generic encouragement and we just go on about our day. Maybe we need to begin to see it differently. Maybe we need to begin to see that spiritually, the situation and the circumstances, the fires and the wrecks that people are up against are far more critical than any temporal or any circumstantial situation that we can see, and we're quick to act. Lord, would you help us to care? Would you move our hearts and stir our hearts with the compassion? Jesus, oftentimes before he healed, before he moved, it says he was moved with compassion, moved with compassion, moved with compassion. So let me just ask you a question. Do you care for lost and hurting people? And if so, when's the last time you shared the truth of Jesus with someone? Listen, I'm just telling you, like, I'm preaching to myself. We need to care. We need to receive the heart of God for people. It's the heart of God for people that begins to encourage us to overcome the fear and the insecurities and the doubts. It's not our part to do the healing. It's not our part to save the person. It's just our part to extend the invitation. And another part about how and when is as you go. Matthew 10, verse 7 says this, as you go, proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Can I just encourage you? Just everywhere you find yourself, that's a good place to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the restaurant today with your server, that's a great place. And I try to be disciplined to just encourage and extend an invitation to pray for my waiter or the waitress, the server at a restaurant. It's just such a, can I just give you some practical help with this? And maybe some of you could teach me some things about this. Can I just tell you? But I oftentimes will, because we're about to pray as a family or as a group, whoever I'm with, we're about to pray for our meal. I oftentimes just use this as an invitation to just say, excuse me, sir or ma'am, we're Christians. And that's important, I think, to distinguish, because some people aren't praying to the same Lord that we are. So I say, we're Christians and we are about to give thanks for this meal. And is there anything at all in your life that we can pray for you about? Anything at all? And you'll be surprised at how many times people, maybe even if they're at first caught off guard, but if you just continue to just say anything at all, it could be big or small, something you're up against, something you need God to do in your life. Maybe it's not you or even a friend or family member. Is there any way that we can pray for you? And every now and then you'll run into the situation where someone's standoffish. But can I tell you, most times people, when they really sense and can tell that you're just reaching out to them because you sincerely care and you sincerely believe that God can move in their circumstances or their life, even if it takes them a moment to kind of search for something, even if it's something that's trivial. In this town, I get a lot of, well, I got a test coming up on Tuesday. I say, well, we'll pray for that. We'll pray that God will give you wisdom to do well on that test in a way beyond what you could do in your own strength, because God cares for you and he has a plan and a future for you. And the person sometimes, most times will walk away and we'll pray for that person. We'll say, Lord, thank you for this food, and also thank you for whoever it is. Thank you for giving them wisdom. Thank you for helping them to know that you are near and you have good plans for them, Lord. In the places where they have challenges, thank you for strengthening them and seeing them through, and thank you for connecting them to the purposes that you have for their life. In Jesus' name, amen. And you'll be amazed. I got to give credit where credit's due. I owe this. My parents modeled this for me. And every now and then there would be a situation I'll never forget in a Mexican food restaurant in Texas. I just got to stop and just enjoy that memory for a moment. My dad did what I just shared with you, and he said, is there any way that we can pray for you? And the lady just began to weep. Right there, just began to weep, and she just began to share this extremely challenging situation that she was up against. And so because there was a unique moment of God's grace and favor right there, my dad, I remember, he said, well, just can we take you by the hand? And my mom and my dad took her by the hand, and we just prayed for God's faithfulness over her, for God to heal and restore the broken situation in her family. And about 2 or 3 minutes later, she came back to the table, and she had a list. She had gone into the kitchen, and she had a list of all the needs from all the cooks and all the other servers in the kitchen. She said, Juan has this need, and Pablo has this need, and Victor has this need, and John has this need. And so we just took that list of things that she had handwritten out. We put it on the table. My dad just began to just pray over them one at a time. And I trust that God used that moment to bring a breakthrough into some of those precious people's lives. Amen. You see, you never know what someone's up against, and you never know what something just so simple will do in someone's life. Just the simple invitation of we're Christians and we're about to give thanks for our meal. How can we pray for you? There's a video that I want you to see that just underlines how big of an impact sometimes something so simple as an invitation to pray or a reminder about how much God loves someone can make in someone's life. Take a look.
Even though I was raised in a Christian home and had all the right upbringing, probably by the age of 15, I was just involved in things I shouldn't have been involved in. And by the age of 19, I was just regularly using drugs. I was actually in Southern California and on my way to go get some paraphernalia to be able to smoke meth with. Right as I'm walking off the train, there's a lady getting on the train, probably in her late 50s, early 60s, and she makes eye contact with me as we're crossing paths, and she just said, I just want to let you know that Jesus loves you, and just kept walking, and it just rocked my world. Everything from that point on just kind of stopped, and just knew he was still pursuing me, he cared about me, he loved me, he wanted a relationship with me, regardless of where I was at, regardless of what I was on my way to do. She could have even felt, I don't know why I said that, that was dumb. She had no idea what that meant to me and how much that was a part of my journey back to being in a relationship with the Lord. It's never just one thing. It's a series of instances. And as simple as a phrase is, Jesus loves you. Or, how's your day going? Or, is there anything I can pray with you about? Just really small steps along the way, I feel like, are building blocks to people's hearts being receptive and open to the work that God wants to do in their life. There is a living God that's on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit is active and is desiring to draw people towards him, and he uses people to do it. I just have to present the good news. And that's how I think about it now. When I think about, being at a restaurant, when I think about being out, with my friends or wherever I'm at, if someone's having a bad day, if someone looks like they're discouraged, frustrated or sad or unhappy, then I think, there's a reason that this is in front of me. And it's not by accident. This has more to do with God placing me in their path to be a light and to bring hope and a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of joy into their day. And where that leads, only He can decide.
Just a little statement, can the little invitation to pray, can the little encouragement really make a difference in somebody's life? Yes, it can. Come on, you never know when that person is saying, God, if you're real, God, if you still care, God, if you really are who you say you are, just have someone just speak to me today about you. Have someone ask me about this situation or circumstance. God can use you to make a life-changing difference in someone's life. I want to ask our worship team to come forward, and I want to ask our ushers to help me out. When you this morning, as you came in your bulletin, there was a little printed piece that you were intended to receive, and I want to make sure that every person here today has one. Every person has one this morning, and I want to also make sure that every person has something to write with this morning, because here's what I felt like the Holy Spirit prompted me to do, and it ties into the last thing into the how we go about inviting people to experience and encounter Jesus. And the main thing at all, going back to the passage that we read earlier where Paul said to Timothy, First of all, I urge you, pray. And we must begin to pray for the people in our lives who don't know Jesus. Nothing creates an atmosphere for God to break through into their life like covering their life in prayer. And so here's what I want to do this morning is I want to make sure that every one of you has this little, I'm calling it a relationship map. And at the center of this map is you. And the five circles represent five individuals in your life who are currently far from Jesus. And I want to give you the opportunity to seek the Lord this morning as the worship team ministers a song. For the five people who are the most close to you, that you maybe God has strategically put you in their life to be the one who extends an invitation to them to know God through Jesus Christ. And so as the team plays, I want you to just ask the Holy Spirit to show you. And here, can I just set you free from a few things today? Maybe some of you might just have one name. Some of you might end up having seven or eight names. There might be two or three names in every circle. Does everyone have one? If you don't have one, put your hand up. If you don't have one, put your hand up. Guys, help me get these in everyone's hand. Keep your hand up until you get one, if you would. Some of you, the Lord might just begin to reveal just one or two people. Some of you, it might take a while. Maybe today just starts the process of God identifying those people. For some of you, maybe there's quickly you know who those five people are. Some of the five people in your life might be people who once were serving God and they're prodigal sons or daughters. Perhaps the people that you're going to write down here are opposed to God and they've drawn a hard line and their heart is hardened towards the truth of the gospel. Perhaps the others are somewhere in between. But here's what I believe is that if we ask the Holy Spirit to show us and it's moved with compassion and it's motivated by care and concern for them, and if we'll just write, what I want to ask you to do is write their names down on this card. And then here's the commitment I want to ask you to make, is just to begin to pray for these folks. Not just today, but I want to encourage you to take this and put it somewhere that's close by. Maybe put it in your Bible that you read daily, or maybe you tape it onto the mirror that's behind your bathroom vanity and you see it every morning. And as you're brushing your teeth and putting your face on, you just pray for these precious people and you lift them up before the Lord and you just say, God, I just lift up so-and-so. I lift up my grandpa to you that doesn't know you, Lord. And I lift up my cousin. I lift up that person at work. And by the way, that's a good, I love what I heard Pastor Greg Laurie say. He said, pray for Fran. Fran. It's an acronym for friends, relatives, associates, and neighbors. There are people in all those spheres. There's other spheres, but that sums up a lot of the relationships that we have in our life, our friends, our relatives, our associates, and our neighbors. And so you don't have to be quick to fill these in. It's not homework. It's not a test that you're taking. You're not turning it in for a grade. And again, just be set free. What I'm asking you to do with it is not to wear the burden of seeing these people come to know God. It's just to present them in an ongoing way before the Lord. asking God to do what he can only do, committing to God to do what we can do, to pray and to look for the opportunities to share, but trusting God to do the part that we can't do, to soften the heart, to turn the mind, to cause someone to put their faith and their hope and their trust in Jesus Christ. So team, minister this song, and precious church family, would you just ask the Lord to reveal people to you? Precious ones that are close to you at work, in your home, in your family, in your neighborhood, parents of friends of your kids. There's just all these different spheres of life. And ask God to just begin to highlight who the ones would be that for this season of life, you'd lift them up before the Lord, trusting God to break through in their life.
Yeah, Lord. Father, I just pray right now that you would rip open the heavens and pour out your love over this city. Lord, would you open heaven? Would you see the people that you need in your kingdom, Lord? Would you open the reception of their heart, Lord? Would you, as the invitation is poured out, Lord, would you open a receptive spirit over this city, over the names that have been written down today, Lord, would you open a receptive heart? Father, I pray that you pour out boldness on your people to invite to the table, Lord. Your table is freedom. Your table is freedom, Lord. Your table is free to the taking, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you are about to do in this city, even this week, Lord, as boldness is poured out on us, your kids who are inviting to your table, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. You know, Jesus said that the harvest is white. Pray for the workers. And can I just encourage you? I'm going to be praying for you, that God would strengthen you. He would equip you. He would remind you. He would create opportunities for you. But would you just commit to take this home with you? And maybe some of you got it completely filled out. Maybe some of you still have a few places to fill out. But take it home and just begin to lift these precious people before the Lord. As we dismiss, I want to extend an invitation to you guys. I want to ask our prayer team to come forward. And if there's anyone here this morning who is far from God and you need to be made whole, restored, reconnected to your Heavenly Father, the way is Jesus Christ. And we want to invite you as we dismiss this morning to come forward and just allow one of these precious people to pray for you. Perhaps this morning that's not your need, but there's an area of your life. Come on, any situation, any circumstance. Any of you this morning, I know we prayed for shoulders this morning, but if there's any of you who have a sickness in your physical body, and maybe it's not even you, but a loved one or a friend, maybe one of your friends, a friend, relative, associate, or neighbor, come and let's trust God to touch their life this morning as we lift them up in prayer. Amen. Otherwise, God bless you. You're dismissed. Invite people to come and experience the power of the resurrection next week. And would you come next week expecting God to do some amazing things as we exalt the risen Jesus? Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week in the Lord. We love you.